There's something you should know about the Holy Prophet.
Whoa!
Did the Holy Prophet commit sins? The short answer is no, never. He was ma'asum, immaculate, innocent, sinless, infallible. Hold on a moment. Infallible is how ma'asum is often translated, but it's wrong. Fallible means someone who is able to sin. Infallible means someone who is not able to sin. And that's not what is meant by ma'asum. What ma'asum actually means is someone who has the ability to sin, but chooses not to. This is the quality of the prophets, and certainly the Holy Prophet Muhammad was the greatest in status of all the prophets. And the Holy Quran says he is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. If we look to the hadiths, we'll likely encounter many weird things which make it appear as though the Holy Prophet did things which were sinful or even morally questionable. God forbid. The Prophet himself warned against attributing lies to him, saying, "Whoever deliberately ascribes lies to me, let him take his seat in the fire." Unfortunately, if we look at the hadiths, there are many lies attributed to the Holy Prophet. Every Muslim knows, or should know, if there is a hadith which contradicts the Quran, such a hadith should be thrown at the wall. Splat. Because the Quran is the only perfect, unaltered, and immaculate book. But hold on a moment. If the Holy Prophet was indeed ma'asum, why does the Holy Quran say that he found him lost and guided him? Holy Quran says, "Did he not find you lost and guided you?" Dalan means one who has gone astray, one who is lost.
Whoa.
Well, firstly, this word, dalan, in this verse cannot be taken in the same sense as the common understanding of the word. Because in another place in the Quran, Allah swears, "Your companion, Muhammad, does not err, nor does he go astray," using the same wording. So let's put these two verses side by side. Apparently, one is saying that the Prophet was once lost, astray, and then Allah guided him. The other is saying that the Prophet doesn't go astray.
What? Apparent contradiction.
You see, we have to understand the context. When we see this verse and it says, "Did he not find you lost and guided you?" only someone with a misunderstanding would assume it means that the Prophet was committing sins. Nay! The noble prophet never sinned. Rather, he was in search of revelation. In this noble and divine sense, he was lost. And he strove hard to conform to the divine, upright, sublime, and universal morality of Allah until Allah guided him and bestowed upon him the revelation. This makes sense because in another place in the Quran, it says, "And whoever believes in Allah, he will guide his heart." But hang on a moment. What about these verses of the Holy Quran? Allah clearly is saying that he will forgive him for his sin. Right? What's going on here? Dhanb has been translated as sin. The common word for sins in the Quran is actually ithm. Like when the Quran says, "And abandon open and secret ithm, sins." Or when it says, "My Lord has only forbidden immoralities," and ithm, sin. Both dhanb and ithm have been translated as sin, but they both have different meanings. Ithm means a sin, the violation of the divine laws of Allah. Like lying, stealing, murder, backbiting. You knew something was haram, forbidden by Allah, but you committed it knowingly, willingly, and you will be punished if you do not repent. Dhanb? This isn't necessarily a sin per se. This could be a mistake, a compulsion, something that could not be helped, an unavoidable flaw or shortcoming due to the prevailing circumstances. Allama Tabatabai, in his tafsir, explains that the word dhanb in this verse is not a sin in the common meaning, i.e. to violate the divine laws of Allah. The tail of an animal is called dhanab. It follows the animal wherever it goes. That's why any action that has negative consequences is called dhanb. Dhanb is often translated as sin because when we sin, it has negative consequences.
Super genius.
But actually, them isn't necessarily a sin per se, but rather any action which entails some sort of ill consequence. Like if someone puts a gun to your head and forces you to take hallucinogenic drugs. You haven't committed a sin, you were forced to do it. But it's still going to have negative consequences. It's a them, not a sin. Imagine, the prophet was surrounded by enemies, surrounded by rumors and jealousy and animosity. He was forced to fight against the disbelievers who wished to crush the movement of Islam. And the Prophet was forced to cooperate with some who were pretending to be on the Prophet's side while they were working against him. This is the divine politics of the Prophets and Imams. And while the Prophet performed all his actions to perfection for the sole purpose of establishing the divine religion of Allah on earth, these actions were inevitably going to have ill consequences, i.e. they were dhanb, or dhunub, not ithm. But hold on a moment, why would Allah say, I will forgive you your dhanb? Surely forgiveness is there for somebody who has committed a sin, made a mistake, and therefore he needs to repent in order to achieve the forgiveness of Allah. The fact that the Prophet needs forgiveness from Allah surely indicates that he's done something wrong, right? Allama Tabatabai explains that the word ghafara actually means to cover up. It literally means to protect. Mighfar is a helmet because it protects the head. Al-Maghfira means God protects his servants against evil. In short, Allah is saying he will protect the Prophet from his dhanb. Not sin, but the necessary actions which entailed negative consequences. In other words, Allah is telling the Holy Prophet, I know that you carried out these pure actions for my sake, but there's still going to be negative consequences. People are going to make enemies with you, people are going to be hating on you, people are going to target you and Islam, but I'm going to cover for you. He's saying, don't worry, I've got your back. Get it? People often wonder, the Prophet repented. In fact, he said, the best supplication is seeking forgiveness. And no one was more seeking of forgiveness than the noble Prophet of Allah. If he repented, that must mean that he sinned, right? You see, the common understanding of maghfirah, istighfar, repentance, is that you make a mistake, you hit some guy, you did something bad, so then he says, sorry, and the guy goes, I forgive you. If you just said, I forgive you, without committing the sin in the first place, the guy would just be like, what for? In other words, you have to sin first. Then you can ask for forgiveness. This is the common understanding of forgiveness. But the more someone's understanding of Allah increases, the more their recognition of the need for his maghfirah increases. A ma'asoom person, like the Holy Prophet, doesn't just walk around going, I am so good. I just never commit a sin. I'm so perfect in every way. I'm just brilliant. I'm excellent. I'm so pure. Just so pure. The Holy Quran says, do not attribute purity to your souls. He knows him best who guards against evil. It's all about your attitude. Arrogance at not having committed a sin is a sin. It is the recognition of one's own innate deficiencies which call the soul towards calling out to Allah in repentance without even having sinned. The Prophets and Ahlul Bayt and the Awliya Allah have recognized the supreme status of Allah the Exalted. And this may be part of the wisdom behind the words of the Holy Prophet. Do not look at the pettiness of the sin, rather look at who it is you have dared to defy. And he also said, verily, for the layer of dark dust which settles upon my heart, I seek forgiveness from Allah 70 times a day. The bottom line is, don't think of the Prophets, Ahlul Bayts, and Awliya Allah's sins the same way we think of our own sins. We're pathetic. Our sins are actually violating the divine commandments of Allah. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we backbite. These are our sins. Their sins, or rather,
dhunub are at a divine level, and they would never even dream of violating the divine laws and commands of Allah. In fact, the Quran testifies that the Prophet had a sublime level of morality. I don't know how or why some Muslims insist on saying that our noble Prophet committed sins. Look at this verse of the Holy Quran. The Prophet frowned and turned away. From whom did he turn away? A blind man. This poor blind man comes to him to ask him something, and he turns away from the blind man, frowning. Now, I understand that there can be discrepancies in translation, and no language can fully appreciate the perfection of the Arabic Quran, but this is a total outrage. Now, I'll tell you why. The Arabic clearly says, abasa wa tawalla. He frowned and turned away. It does not mention the Holy Prophet anywhere, no matter which angle you wish to look at it. Maybe it's here. No. Maybe it's somewhere. No. Maybe it's... No. Abasa wa tawalla. Now, it's also understandable that in some translations, additional words can be added in order for an inferred meaning to be presented to help the reader better understand the context, etc. But if that's the case, then the additional words are usually in brackets to show you that it's not literally what the Quran is saying, but rather an inferred meaning. Sahih International has not only added the Prophet, but they've even removed the brackets so that anyone coming to the Quran without reading the Arabic and depending purely on the translation would actually believe that the Quran itself is saying, the Prophet frowned and turned away. And that, my friends, is an example of why it is so important to try to stick as much as possible to the original Arabic. Some try and show that the Prophet made mistakes in his speech. That's why the Quran emphatically proves that the Prophet never spoke except that which was the divine word of God. Nor does he speak from his own inclination. It is not but a revelation revealed. The Holy Quran also proves that the Holy Prophet could not have preached anything except the truth. And if he, Muhammad, notice the brackets there, had forged a false saying concerning us, we surely would have seized him by his right hand and then certainly should have cut off his life artery. This is the final revelation of Allah we're talking about, the supreme message of Islam. There was no room for even the slightest mistake, flaw, sin, or imperfection on the Prophet's part. Islam is perfect, the Quran is immaculate, and the one who brought it to us is the same. And Allah states, certainly you have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent example for him who hopes in Allah and the latter day and remembers Allah.